Episode 1. Flatland, A Romance of Many Dimensions, by Edwin Abbott Abbott, read by David Grizzly Smith. To the inhabitants of space in general, and HC in particular, this work is dedicated by a humble native of Flatland, in the hope that, even as he was initiated into the mysteries of three dimensions, having been previously conversant with only two, so the citizens of that celestial region may aspire yet higher and higher to the secrets of four, five, or even six dimensions, thereby contributing to the enlargement of the imagination and the possible development of that most excellent gift of modesty among the superior races of solid humanity. Part 1. This World. Section 1. Of the Nature of Flatland. I call our world Flatland, not because we call it so, but to make its nature clearer to you, my happy readers who are privileged to live in space. Imagine a vast sheet of paper on which straight lines, triangles, squares, pentagons, hexagons, and other figures, instead of remaining fixed in their places, move freely about, on or in the surface, but without the power of rising above or sinking below it, very much like shadows, only with hard, luminous edges, and you will then have a pretty correct notion of my country and countrymen. Alas, a few years ago I should have said my universe, but now my mind has been opened to higher views of things. In such a country, you will perceive at once that it is impossible that there should be anything of what you would call a solid kind. But I dare say you will suppose that we could at least distinguish by sight the triangles, squares, and other figures moving about as I have described them. Well, on the contrary, we could see nothing of the kind, not at least so as to distinguish one figure from another. And nothing was visible, nor could be visible, to us, except straight lines. And the necessity of this I will speedily demonstrate. Place a penny on the middle of one of your tables in space, and leaning over it, look down upon it. It will appear a circle. But now, drawing back to the edge of the table, gradually lower your eye, thus bringing yourself more and more into the condition of the inhabitants of Flatland, and you will find the penny becoming more and more oval to your view, and at last, when you have placed your eye exactly on the edge of the table, so that you are, as it were, actually a Flatlander, the penny will then have ceased to appear oval at all, and will have become, so far as you can see, a straight line. Now, the same thing would happen if you were to treat in the same way a triangle or a square or any other figure cut out from pasteboard. As soon as you look at it with your eye on the edge of the table, you'll find that it ceases to appear to you as a figure. It becomes, in appearance, a straight line. Now take, for example, an equilateral triangle, who represents with us a tradesman of the respectable class. Now, figure one represents the tradesman as you would see him while you were bending over him from above. Figures 2 and 3 represent the tradesman as you would see him if your eye were close to the level, or all but on the level of the table. And if your eye were quite close to the level of the table, and that's how we see him in Flatland, you would see nothing but a straight line. Now, when I was in Spaceland, I heard that your sailors have very similar experiences while they traverse your seas, and discern some distant island or coast lying on the horizon. The far-off land may have bays, forelands, angles, in and out to any number and extent, and yet, at a distance, you see none of these, unless, indeed, your sun shines bright upon them, revealing the projections or retirements by means of light and shade, nothing but a gray, unbroken line upon the water. Well, that is just what we see when one of our triangular or other acquaintances comes toward us in Flatland. As there is neither sun with us, nor any light of such a kind as to make shadows, we have none of the helps to the sight that you have in Spaceland. Now, if our friend comes closer to us, we see his line becomes larger. If he leaves us, it becomes smaller. But still, he looks like a straight line, be he a triangle, a square, pentagon, hexagon, circle, what you will. A straight line, he looks, and nothing else. Now, you may perhaps ask how, under these disadvantageous circumstances, we are able to distinguish our friends from one another. But the answer to this is a very natural question. Will be more fitly and easily given when I come to describe the inhabitants of Flatland. For the present, let me defer this subject and say a word or two about the climate and houses in our country. Section 2 of the climate and houses in Flatland. As with you, so also with us, there are four points of the compass, north, south, east, and west. There being no sun, nor other heavenly bodies, it is impossible for us to determine north in the usual way, but we have a method of our own. By a law of nature, with us, there is a constant attraction to the south. And although in temperate climes this is very slight, so that even a woman in reasonable health can journey several furlongs northward without much difficulty, yet the hampering effort of the southward attraction is quite sufficient to serve as a compass in most parts of our earth. And moreover, the rain, which of course falls at stated intervals, coming always from the north, is an additional assistance. And in the towns we have the guidance of the houses, which of course have their side walls running for the most part north and south, so that the roofs may keep off the rain from the north. Now in the country, where there are no houses, the trunks of the trees serve as some sort of guide. Altogether, we have not so much difficulty as might be expected in determining our bearings. Yet, in our more temperate regions, in which the southward attraction is hardly felt, walking sometimes in a perfectly desolate plain where there have been no houses nor trees to guide me, I have been occasionally compelled to remain stationary for hours together, waiting till the rain came before continuing my journey. On the weak and aged, especially on delicate females, the force of attraction tells much more heavily than on the robust of the male sex, so that it is a point of breeding. If you meet a lady on the street, you always give her the north side of the way. By no means an easy thing to do, always on short notice when you are in rude health and in a climate where it is difficult to tell your north from your south. Windows there are none in our houses, for the light comes to us alike in our homes and out of them, by day or by night, equally at all times and in all places, whence we know not. It was in the old days, with our learned men, an interesting and oft-investigated question, what is the origin of light? And the solution of it has been repeatedly attempted, with no other result than to crowd our lunatic asylums with the would-be solvers. Hence, after fruitless attempts to suppress such investigations indirectly by making them liable to a heavy tax, the legislature in a comparatively recent times absolutely prohibited them. I alone in Flatland now know only too well the true solution to this mysterious problem, but my knowledge cannot be made intelligible to a single one of my countrymen, and I am mocked at. I, the sole possessor of the truths of space and of the theory of the introduction of light from the world of three dimensions, as if I were the maddest of the mad. But a truce to these painful digressions, let me return to our homes. Now, the most common form for the construction of a house is five-sided, or pentagonal, as in the next figure. Now, the two northern sides constitute the roof, and for the most part have no doors. On the east is a small door for the women. On the west is a much larger one for the men. The south side, or the floor, is usually doorless. Square and triangular houses are not allowed. And for this reason, the angles of a square, and still more, those of an equilateral triangle, being much more pointed than those of a pentagon, and the lines of inanimate objects, such as houses, being dimmer than the lines of men and women, it follows there is no little danger lest the points of a square or triangular house might do serious injury to an inconsiderate or perhaps absent-minded traveler suddenly running against them. And therefore, as early as the 11th century of our era, triangular houses were universally forbidden by law, the only exceptions being fortifications, powder magazines, barracks, other state buildings, which it is not desirable that the general public should approach without circumspection. Now, at this period, square houses were still permitted, though discouraged by a special tax, but about 2-3 centuries afterwards, the law decided that in all towns containing a population above 10,000, the angle of a pentagon was the smallest house angle that could be allowed consistently with public safety. Now, the good sense of the community has seconded the efforts of the legislature, and now, even in the country, the pentagonal construction has superseded every other. It is only now and then in some very remote and backward agricultural district that an antiquarian may still discover a square house. Thank you for listening to Flatland, A Romance of Many Dimensions, by A. Square, written here in Spaceland by Edwin Abbott Abbott, and read by David Grizzly Smith. Music in these recordings includes Friendly Day from Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. I do hope you'll be kind enough to comment on Podiobooks.com or at GrizzliesGrowls.com. And if you would, please tell others about this book, even if you are an isosceles or a woman. These recordings are released under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 license.